Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Proudly sponsored by B. Braun, a world-leading provider of healthcare solutions.
Hello, I'm Luke O'Neill, and welcome to my podcast, Show Me the Science, where every week I take a topic in science that fascinates me, and it's often to do with medicine or immunology or whatever it might be, because that's my specialty. But equally, because I'm a scientist, I am obsessed with looking at things through the lens of science. What's the evidence? What we are learning about it? And it's stuff that really interests me. You know, now this week, a special one, I've had a request. Now, I'd like to say, actually, any requests, please let me know if people are interested in any topic and they want me to have a good go at it. I'll try. And the other day, I'm walking there from the dart and a guy shouts at me across the street, "How's it going, Luke?" I said, "How's it going?" He came over. He said, "I love your podcast. Would I do allergy?" So I didn't get his name, but thank you very much for that, saying that in the street to me. And I'm very happy to do allergy because guess what? I know a lot about allergy because allergy is front and center as part of immunology. And in fact, it's a sub part of immunology. There are specialists who work on the allergic reaction. And I've done some work myself on this over the years. I've been an immunologist for 35 years now, and you can't really avoid allergy because it will crop up from time to time in our research. And I'm very happy to give you the science of allergy. It's also, I guess this guy who said it to me, it's in people's minds because there has been allergic reactions to the vaccines. We're not going to cover that because it's very rare. These vaccines are not causing allergy to any great extent. Tiny number of people. And of course, you can treat allergy and that was fine. I guess that might have been in this person's mind. But let me give you the overview to start with. We all know what it is. Everybody will be aware with allergies to things and you might be allergic yourself. As many as 20% of people will have an allergy at some time in their lives. Now, what is it? It's what we call a hypersensitive response. You're very sensitive to something in the environment. For example, hay fever. That's the most common one. And with hay fever, you inhale pollen, and for some reason, that irritates your immune system. Second type are skin problems, dermatitis, skin rashes, maybe a metal bracelet, it might be that. It might be detergent. They can cause rashes, and that's an allergic reaction as well. The most severe type of allergic reaction we have is called anaphylaxis. Again, you can't be these doctors. They come up with these long words just to confuse people. Anaphylaxis is a severe allergic reaction in your airways. And it can happen in asthma. And asthma, in fact, is an allergic disease, as I'll explain. Another one that's very common is allergic rhinitis. And that means when your nose is running all the time, very inconveniently. It's a bit like having a constant cold. And that's another type of allergy as well. They're the main ones. There are many others as well, by the way, and often subtypes. My favourite one, when I learned about this when I was training as an immunologist all those years ago, is called dermographism. Now, what is that? That's such a severe allergic reaction that you can scratch in someone's skin and it comes up, right? You can write your name on your skin, and where your nail has scored the skin, you have a hypersensitive response to the scratch and it comes up red. These things are called wheal and flare. Wheal and flare, we use that word in skin rashes. And you can write your name, basically, and create like a hives in a red line with your name. It's called dermographism. Very rare, but it's an example. Very mild. I mean, some of these allergies are nothing to worry about. A minor rash isn't a concern. But the trouble is, some become very, very serious. Now, we also have a very important part of this is allergic to things apart from pollen. That hay fever one was one example. There are many things people are allergic to. Now, what's going on there? Why would we react badly to these things in our bodies? Well, it turns out we all have allergy anyway. We don't quite call it that, mind you. It's only called allergy when it becomes problematic. But let's say you inhale something, right? And pollen would be the example, or anything we inhale. Very often we start to make mucus. So your eyes run and your nose runs. You might cough, right? And you get this spasm of coughing. That's to get rid of the stuff. So in other words, a response to something that's a bit noxious, it's totally natural to get rid of it, right? And that's fine. And you cough the thing out that might be causing, you know, might be a bit of a poisonous thing for your body or whatever. Allergy is an overreaction. So for some reason, the machinery in your body that allows you to expel something you've inhaled goes into overdrive. It goes out of control. And that really is what this hypersensitive reaction is all about. So for example, hay fever, you get too much mucus being made. Your nose is running, your eyes are running. You're sort of coughing off a lot. You know, hay fever can be a horrible thing for people. And again, it's just an overreaction is the idea. Now, the serious end of this is when your airways cut off. And that again can happen normally to stop stuff going into your lungs. So you get a spasm in your airways and the airflow is sort of stopped. You said wheezing is an example of that. The trouble is, of course, in severe asthma, that gets far too strong. And tragically, people can die of that because they get a massive allergic reaction. And now their lungs are now clogged and they can't breathe. And it's a horrible thing, you know. So again, that's the more extreme end of this. Now, let's look at the things called allergens a bit more. These are the things that provoke this reaction. Pollen is famous. Insect stings, bites and so on, you know. And of course, there are five insects that we can have allergies to. The honeybee, the hornet, the wasp, yellow jackets and fire ants. They're the five insects. And they release chemicals in the insect, basically, that you now react to. And you have this allergic reaction to it. And again, this is quite common. People often get a massive reaction to an insect sting and it's a rash and it's a bit sore. Another big one is cats. People have allergies to cats. You're reacting to what's called cat dander. There's something in the cat fur that you inhale and there you get an allergy to cats. Another big one is certain foodstuffs. Peanuts are quite common, peanut allergy. Shellfish can have chemicals in them as well. And then certain drugs like penicillin, for instance. And again, your body now is overreacting to something that's come into your body and then you get this allergic reaction. And again, these have been studied in great detail. Why would some people have this and others not? Well, we think genetics plays a big part of it. And in fact, identical twins, if one is allergic, so will the other one. So that's probably in the genes. It could be environmental partly, of course. But they think overall 70% genetic. So you're inheriting genes that make you hypersensitive. And of course, the big question is, what are these genes? Now, again, I can't really convey to you how exciting this has been as a part of immunology. And over the past 30 years or so, immunologists have discovered what's going wrong in the body when you have an allergic reaction. And one example is you make an antibody, a special subclass of antibodies called IgE. Now, you may have heard of IgG and IgM. They're the antibodies you make in response to COVID and they neutralize that virus. IgE is really only made during this reaction. And what does IgE do? Well, it locks onto cells in your body. And for example, eosinophils, they're a cell type. I've mentioned those before, actually. But eosinophils are there. IgE binds the eosinophil and that makes it release its contents. And it's the contents of the eosinophil that begin to cause the reaction. A very good example is histamine. And I would guess many of you have heard of histamine. Histamine comes out of eosinophils or neutrophils. There's various cell types can make it. Cells called mast cells as well. They release the histamine and that's what causes all the mucus. And it can make your airways spasm as well. It affects muscle tissue as well. So in other words, we know exactly how histamine is causing some of these symptoms. And that means antihistamines can be used. That's drugs that block histamine. So for example, in hay fever, the IgE gets made in response to the pollen and the IgE causes histamine to be released and then causes the symptoms and antihistamines will work. A second very important chemicals that get released as well are called leukotrienes. Now, I often make a joke there, leukotrienes. It could be leukoneals, but they didn't name them after me. They're called leukotrienes because they're in leukocytes and they've three double bonds, triene, for the chemist listening in. Now, these actually will cause massive spasm of muscles. And when you're having an allergic reaction in asthma, lots of leukotrienes get made and they will make the smooth muscle cells in your airways contract and that's why you start to wheeze. And of course, at the more severe end, they really impair your breathing and tragically then, the sharp end is that this can cause death. It's horrible. Now, because leukotrienes were discovered and where I did my PhD in London, a woman there called Priscilla Piper, she's famous for discovering leukotrienes. They used to be called slow-reacting substance of anaphylaxis, or SRSA. She purified them, and there were these things called leukotrienes, and she's famous for that. And, of course, once they found them, they began to make drugs to block them. And now you can have a drug called Montelukast, for example, that can be used to block leukotrienes and therefore relieve this horrible, horrible symptom that we get with the airways. So, again, a big breakthrough there, and Priscilla get some of the credit for discovering leukotrienes, and then drug companies could come along and develop ways to block them. Now, of course, any allergic reaction that you might have will involve things like histamines, the rash in the skin, you know, the airways closing up. Adrenaline is a great way to relieve those symptoms because adrenaline can open up the airways and can constrict blood flow in various ways and stop the rash from spreading. And there's all kinds of things that adrenaline does. This is the EpiPen, and you may be all familiar with that. Let's say you take peanuts and you have a massive allergic reaction to peanuts, you can give an injection of adrenaline and it will counteract all the effects of the chemicals in your body that are causing all those symptoms. And that's why it's important to have EpiPens if you've got allergy, because it can relieve the symptoms. And of course, in COVID-19, with the vaccine, they could give people EpiPens to limit that and stop the allergy from spreading, I guess, is the way to think of it. Now, let's look a bit more closely at one other aspect of this, which I think is a fascination. There's a thing called the hygiene hypothesis. Now, you've probably heard of this. What's going on with the hygiene hypothesis? Well, in 1968, a scientist called David Strachan said asthma is much more common in the industrial world. It's less common in the countryside. He wondered why. And he also noticed that people who had been exposed to parasites, helminths in particular, had a lower incidence of asthma. And he wondered why. And lots of work then finally figured out the reason why is a bit of dirt is good. And in fact, having parasites in your body can be a good thing. Why would that be? Well, guess what? The bit of dirt, the bit of parasite, trains your immune system not to overreact. Okay? In other words, if your immune system doesn't go to school when you're a child, you might inhale something like pollen and now have an overreaction. The immune system goes off on one, basically. But if it's seen dirt and seen things, it can turn friend from foe and it won't overreact. So basically, the hygiene hypothesis says being too clean can increase your risk of allergies, asthma in particular, because your immune system isn't learning how to deal with life, I suppose. It's a bit immature, it doesn't grow up properly and now begins to overreact. So in many ways, it's a bit like having a teenager in your house the whole time. They keep going off on one, don't they? If you teach the teenager not to behave like that and not to fly off the handle, that's good. And in the case of the immune system, it doesn't fly off the handle and cause a massive allergic reaction. It's very, very important, right, to have that training, I suppose, is the way to think of it. And there's more and more evidence that the hygiene hypothesis is probably correct. So a bit of dirt when you're young is quite good. Now, let me just finish on a couple of things that just I've picked a couple of nuggets for you. Great man for the nuggets. I hope you agree. I hope you find them interesting. This allergy business is really serious in a sense, because it can be very, very bad for people. Obviously, can their lives can be affected by this in various ways. It's a massive industry. It's a $25 billion industry are spent on antihistamines, drugs to treat allergy of various kinds. There's lots of other drugs. I haven't got time to go into them. So it's a massive industry. And they kind of work, these drugs. I mean, they aren't useless. EpiPens are very important. But we need new drugs to treat things like atopic dermatitis, which is a severe type of skin allergy that children get, for instance. And there have been breakthroughs. Two parts of the immune system have been shown to be elevated in allergic reactions. IL-4 and IL-13. They are two cytokines. Everybody knows what a cytokine is by now, I think. Cytokines are the molecules of the immune system that control things. They go up in allergy, they promote IgE, they seem to be the bosses of the allergic reaction. And guess what? There's drugs now that block those two cytokines. And they are really showing efficacy now in severe allergy, in particular atopic dermatitis, but in other situations as well. So again, we've seen a big breakthrough there. Lastly, and this is kind of the frontier of this, nickel allergy. Some people have allergy to nickel. Nickel can trigger an immune protein called TLR4 in your body, which I used to work on a lot. So nickel is being sensed by this thing called TLR4, and that's causing contact dermatitis, that sort of bracelets cause. And again, drugs are being developed to block that pathway, to relieve that. And the last example, I love this. Remember the allergy to cats? I mentioned cat allergy already to you. Well, guess what? You can now study that in great detail. What's causing that in the cat dander? It's a protein called FLD1. So FLD1 is the reason why when you inhale that dander, if you're a cat owner, the FLD1 is irritating the immune system. And again, it seems to be irritating TLR4. So what that means is you might block TLR4 and you no longer have an allergy to your cat. More cleverly, guess what? These clever scientists are making cats genetically and they're deleting the FLD1 gene from cats. And that means you've got a hypoallergenic cat. You can buy these cats in California, apparently, and you won't be allergic to them because they're missing FLD1. They've cloned these cats that lack FLD1, and now the cat owner won't be getting allergic. Guess what they call that clone cat? Copycat. Can't beat these jokes, can you? So copycat is missing FLD1, and you won't be allergic to it. But lastly, and I can't resist this, there's allergies to all kinds of things. Guess what? Some women, sadly, are allergic to sperm. Now, this sounds a bit unusual, I know, but that can be very serious because obviously that's a reason for infertility. If you're reacting to sperm and your immune system, if you're a woman, is killing off the sperm, that means you can't, you know, obviously conceive. And again, there's progress there. That might be a way to treat infertility. A subset of people who are infertile are reacting to sperm. And again, there's drugs now in development to limit that. And then lastly, and most unusually, some people are allergic to alcohol. Can you imagine that? They develop a massive allergic reaction and they're also allergic to exercise. Now, I am allergic to exercise for definite because every time I take exercise, I don't feel great. So I stop exercising. Luckily, I'm not allergic to alcohol. That would make my life an absolute misery. And I hope you've enjoyed all that information. And the person who asked me to cover it, I hope you got learned a few things about allergy. It's a fascinating area, very important for new treatments for allergy, and a huge area of research that just keeps discovering brand new things. So thanks very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget, you can download my podcast every Thursday. And I'm with Pat Kenny every week on News Talk. Thank you very much for listening.
Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Proudly sponsored by B. Braun. Saluting our frontline heroes for their outstanding commitment to the health of the nation.